We continue this morning in Hebrews chapter 11. I invite you to turn there. We'll look at Hebrews 11 verses 8 through 10. Hebrews 11 verses 8 through 10. Beginning in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is God's word. Now this morning we come to the first example in the life of Abraham. Abraham is mentioned repeatedly in Hebrews 11, three or four different times, showing us different aspects of his life of faith. And when it comes to Abraham in the New Testament, Abraham sort of functions as exhibit A for faith, right? You got it mentioned by Paul, he's mentioned by James, he's mentioned by here in Hebrews, he's mentioned also in the Gospels as well. So Abraham is really important for understanding faith. And he's set forth as an example of faith here in this text. Now, as we've gone through these exhortations and we've looked at these different characters, you'll notice that there is a degree of repetition in what I say each week, and that is intentional, because the point of all of these passages is to make the same basic point and to show us the definition of faith that we found in verse 1, when it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The author is showing us over and over again how this is true from each of these different lives of faith. And each time we go through one of these characters, I think we see a little nuance, some new aspect that helps us to see faith more clearly. It all connects to this basic definition, but we're seeing different patterns in different parts of faith. And that's what we see here in Abraham, and we'll want to dig into aspects of Abraham's faith in this text. Paul tells us in the New Testament that we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's exactly what we see with Abraham. He did not see the things that God had promised coming to him, only in a preliminary way. But he did not see the fullness of what was to come. So look at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This is the call of Abraham, or call of Abram at this point, to go to the land of Canaan and God's promise to make a great nation of him. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That last verse, verse 3, is explicitly described as the preaching of the gospel by Paul in Galatians 3. Paul says in Galatians 3 that the gospel was preached beforehand to Abraham in these words. Abraham here was receiving the preaching of the gospel of Christ, and yet he didn't even know, he didn't see yet, that the seed that would come from his line would be the Savior of the world. And yet in this promise, that is exactly what is stated. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And he has to be wondering at this point, how? How is this going to take place? We can even contrast this example of Abraham with Noah. We talked about how Noah had to wait 120 years to see the fulfillment of God's word, the coming flood, the judgment and salvation. Abraham didn't even get to see the land become a possession at all. We're looking at roughly 450 to 500 years after Abraham entered into the land. So we want to look at two aspects of faith this morning. The first is, faith acts in light of God's promises, even when the how of God's promise coming to pass seems far beyond our grasp. Faith acts or obeys in light of God's promises, even when we don't see how these things are going to take place. That's the first aspect. The second one is faith views the things of this world as temporary in nature and looks to the age to come. That's what we see in these two parts of the text. Faith views the things of this world as temporary in nature and looks for the age to come, the city with foundations. So let's look at the first one. Faith acts in light of God's promise despite not seeing the how. Notice what verse 8 says of our text. It says that Abraham obeyed and he went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham was promised an entire land, an entire nation that was going to be given to him. He was going to be given the land of Canaan, but he didn't even know where he was going at the beginning. Notice what Genesis 12 said. It said the same thing. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show thee. So it's not a lot of information that he is given at the beginning, is it? He's not working with much data in terms of how do I and why do I obey. Now just consider if somebody told you, get in the car, start driving, I'll tell you where we're going later. We want to know what's going on. We want to know where are we going, how are we going to get there, why are we going there. We're not usually really content with that. Should I bring anything with me? Do we have enough gas? Do we have money to get there? There'd be some hesitancy for us to get on the highway and just start going. But that's basically what Abraham was told to do. Get up, get your possessions, and go where I'm telling you to go. He had to obey by faith. He didn't know what the results would be. All he had was the promise. And then, when Abraham does arrive in the land, he ends up being a sojourner his entire life. It's one thing to show up and, here you go, Abraham, here's the land, it's yours. Once he arrives, he's told, well, it's actually going to take another couple hundred years before this is yours. And you won't be around to get it either. He had to continue to sojourn by faith. He had to spend the rest of his life wandering in the land of inheritance without receiving the inheritance. So Abraham, therefore, acted on the promises of God despite not seeing the how of the way in which God was going to bring this about and not seeing it actually come to fruition as God had promised. So that's what we do as well. We take the promises of God, we obey, we act in light of them, even though we don't see how these things are going to come about. Just consider that act of faith known as raising children. We don't see the result. We don't get to know. We want to see, age 21, what's my child like? Where are they at in life? What are they going to be like? But we don't get to know that, do we? We have to obey, we have to act by faith every day. God has given us His commandments. We raise our children in the fear of the Lord. We teach them His word. We teach them diligently in the faith. And yet we don't know. We don't get to see the result. And sometimes it looks like things aren't going so well, does it? Sometimes we're thinking, I don't know if this is going the right direction. But we have the promises of God and we act in light of His promises. That is the case for so many other challenges that we face and so many other ways in which our faith is tested. Consider the teaching of Romans 8:28. We repeat this as one of these encouraging, stabilizing, strengthening texts of Scripture when it tells us in Romans 8:28 that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Verse 28 of Romans 8 is true. There's no doubt about that. The challenge is we don't know how it's always true, do we? The reason that we quote it is because we're in situations in which we don't know how it's true, in the sense that we see how it works together for good, what God's purposes are. We don't know, but we cling to this text because it's what we have and it is God's truth there, and it demonstrates the same thing that we said. Faith acts in light of God's promises even when we don't see the how. All things work together for good. God tells us these things will work together for good. Trust me. Trust me. You don't have to know how. Just trust Him. And that is the promise we see here. Okay, secondly, faith views the things of this world as temporary in nature and looks forward to the age to come. Part of the reason this is brought out is because Abraham was a sojourner. He didn't receive the land of inheritance. He was understanding that his final resting place was not going to be the land of Canaan in the ultimate sense, but it was going to be the city that would last forever, the city of God, eternal life. Verse 9 of the text, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That promise of the land of Canaan was just a microcosm, just a little part of the bigger inheritance that Abraham was to receive. The inheritance of the city that has foundations, that never perishes. He looked to that city just as we do. Now, what about us? Are we sojourners like Abraham? We're not waiting to receive the specific geographical place that Abraham was seeking to receive, but the scriptures in the New Testament describe us as sojourners, aliens, wanderers in the earth. Consider 1 Peter 2, 11 through 12. Peter says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against your soul, having your conversation honest among Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We are pilgrims, strangers on the earth, just as Abraham was. Because we are deeply, deeply unsatisfied with the brokenness of this world, it is appropriate for us to not be satisfied with the way this world is and to look for the city that cannot be broken down. We are pilgrims on the way to the celestial city, and we must keep the destination in mind. Where are we going? What is the ultimate destination? Where is that everlasting rest? Abraham looked beyond the things of this world to see the city that has foundations. And the reason that that was so important for Abraham is he wasn't getting the land. He wasn't receiving what was promised directly, and he had to look forward to something bigger and better. Friends, there are things in our lives that we may never see come to pass in our lifetime. And we will have to look beyond what takes place in our life. For example, we desire the church to grow and to grow, the kingdom of God to expand, and it is expanding. But maybe our particular expectations of how that will happen or our place in the kingdom of God will not be as big as we thought it was. Whatever the case, we must look to the reward that all of us receive, the city with foundations, far beyond whatever we accomplish in this life. As Jesus says, don't rejoice in all these things that you can do for me here in this life, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is what we must set our eyes upon. And so as we live this life of faith, we rest in God's hands to take care of the how. And we keep that final destination in mind. We keep that in view. We just keep going. We keep obeying. We keep walking by faith, looking to the city that God has promised to us. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we confess this morning our lack of faith. We say with the disciples, increase our faith. We feel our weakness because we sometimes doubt and we sometimes murmur against you, wondering if your promises will really come to pass. We pray, O Lord, that as our faith is tested and as we have to walk not by sight but by faith, that we would remember that this is exactly how you have ordained things to be. This is how you want us to lean upon you, to depend upon you and not ourselves. We know that you bring us to the most difficult situations so that we will not trust in ourselves. Father, we pray that you'd help us as we wander sometimes in places we don't know where we're going, that we would look to you and that we would rest content in your sovereign hand to guide, sustain, and to fulfill your promises. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.